This is Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Kevin Gavin, sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer. On today's program, we're examining the top news stories and developments in the Pittsburgh region. The holiday season is often a time to reflect on why and for what we should be grateful. Pittsburgh Today has published its list of 10 Pittsburgh reasons to be thankful. Doug Hoik is the editor of Pittsburgh Today. Doug, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Kevin. It's great to be here.
Now, usually, when Pittsburgh Today issues a report, a study, it compares Pittsburgh to the other benchmark regions. Did you do that in this list of reasons to be thankful?
Yeah, it's based on the factual comparison between the regions.
So, first on your list of 10 reasons is regional employment at an all-time high. How's Pittsburgh doing, however, to the other benchmark regions?
In terms of employment, we've been doing much better than most of the benchmark regions coming out of the recession. The employment, as you mentioned, all-time high. It's also the labor force, which is a sign of the strength of the job market, has been setting records repeatedly. And so that's a sign generally that when the labor force is growing, people are either moving here or they're saying, gee, you know, I'm going to get back in the labor force because it looks like I can get a job that I want and will like.
Hand in hand with that, there's been steady job growth in the Pittsburgh region, you say, over the last 5 years, which is important because this also includes the recent recession.
Yeah, Pittsburgh used to have this back in the heavy industry days. We would dive into a recession and come roaring out as the engines of industry kind of came back to life. So in recent years, we've had more, or in recent cycles, we've had a more flat curve going in. We've gone into recession later, and we've been slower to come out. What's different about this one is we were slower to go in, and we came out much stronger. So this is a change for us. And for most of the last 5 years, we led these 15 regions in job growth. Now our pace is moderating, but we're still fifth highest over a five-year period. So it's fascinating because our economy is much more diversified. Through all of this, the travails of the Great Recession, we had a relatively much stronger banking and finance sector. We had the moderating and stability influence of the eds and meds, so to speak. And we also had kind of a secret weapon, so to speak, that other regions didn't have. And that was the Marcellus boom.
Four other benchmark regions did better than Pittsburgh in terms of job growth during that five-year period. How many again?
15. And again, for the first, let's say, three and a half years, I'm trying to remember, we were by far number one. In recent times, some of these areas have kind of sprung that were relatively much farther behind, have sprung back to life. So our growth is moderating to a more normal pace. We're still up there because we had this lead. But you see Charlotte coming back, Baltimore, Denver, and Boston, their growth has been strong. We had a period earlier this year when our job growth was very slow and people thought, uh-oh, are we starting to see some problems? But now it's back to a stronger rate.
There are jobs and then there are jobs. So this job growth that we've been experiencing, are these minimum wage jobs or family sustaining jobs?
I'm sure that they're both. But we have, relatively speaking, if you look at some of the sectors that have been strong, the ones I mentioned, the banking, the natural gas jobs, the eds and meds, these are, relatively speaking, higher quality jobs. This is the kind of thing that's attracting people. You have the ancillary lower-end job growth, but we have a relatively higher proportion of the better jobs.
As I see the monthly reports from different realty lists, it seems to be a good time to be a homeowner, especially if you're considering the possibility of selling. Home values are rising, so sales prices are going up, and a shorter time on the market even.
It's fascinating. For so many years, if we were homeowners, we watched as most of the rest of the country saw their home prices skyrocket and therefore their net worth go way up. And we were laggards and we were not part of the party. Of course, the oft-used metaphor of, you know, if you're not part of the party, you don't have the hangover. We didn't see our housing prices drop. In fact, we're the only one of the 15 benchmark regions that has seen, actually Denver has just crept up into positive territory, but the other 13 have actually seen home prices decline over the past 5 years, whereas in Pittsburgh it's been up nearly 6%. So I think that's a function of a number of things. We didn't have the foreclosures. We had relatively more conservative banking procedures. And we've had this economic growth, and we've had people moving here. So it's been an unusual and welcome story for Pittsburgh.
All sounds good, but are there any potential red flags? Can the prices of homes, the value of homes, can they rise too quickly, even maybe put some people out of the market, out of reach of actually buying a home?
Well, in Pittsburgh, I suppose there are always risks. One of the things, and this gets kind of into one of the next things on our list, having to do with cost of living, but one of the reasons that our cost of living is much lower is the housing component. So the fact that prices are rising in an aggregate scale, and when you look at a metropolitan area, you're talking about a big area, that doesn't mean that we're still expensive compared to other places. So I wouldn't foresee a problem with people, you know, getting priced out. That may happen in some ways, but in general, in a kind of a macro view, the housing prices here are still relatively much more affordable than they are in a lot of regions.
Since you brought up cost of living, let's continue in that vein. According to your report, only Indianapolis and Cincinnati, I believe, have a lower cost of living than the Pittsburgh region.
Yeah, this is one of the things where we are really attractive to people. Even though we are, so to speak, cross between the Midwest and the East, our cost of living is much lower than other regions. Pittsburgh is nearly 10% lower than the national average, and it's just way lower. So there's a huge difference, and this is something that continues to make us very attractive to people.
How does income factor into that cost of living, though?
In wages, our wages are lower than the benchmark average. But if you factor, which is something we did this fall for the first time for a report for Sustainable Pittsburgh, if you factor cost of living in, which makes perfect sense, then we're, as I recall, third highest. In other words, your wages as a factor of your cost of living here are the third highest. And there are some people who would argue that, you know, people don't care if they're in San Francisco considering moving somewhere, whether the cost of living is lower in Pittsburgh. They just want $75,000 or whatever they want. But the real fact is it's very important how your wages, you know, matter, the cost of living. So we do much better when you can factor in the cost of living to wages.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Kevin Gavin, filling in for Paul Guggenheimer. As we look back and ahead, we're speaking with Doug Hoik. He's the editor of Pittsburgh Today, about 10 Pittsburgh reasons to be thankful. Doug, having heard for years and years that young people are leaving the Pittsburgh region, your report shows that more young adults are migrating to southwestern Pennsylvania. We've got a net gain for a change. Is this former residents coming back, or are these newcomers?
You know, it's a combination, I'm sure. As you point out, it's a big deal here because for so long, it was a media mantra, you know, the sky is falling, a.k.a., you know, the young people are leaving. So that kind of drumbeat continued long after it ceased to be true. And so for the last 5 years, that trend has been reversed to the point last year some 1,800 more young adults or more people moved in, and they end up being younger for a variety of reasons. One, the job market here has been a lot stronger, so there are jobs to be had. The cost of living, as we mentioned, is also low, and if you're getting started, it's very attractive to have the lower cost of living. And another thing is they're being younger, they're more mobile. They're less likely to have been underwater in a mortgage in some other region.
A little bit more on the characteristics of these both newcomers and, if I can say this as a Pittsburgh native, gumbanders or
That's
boomerangers,
right. That's right.
If you prefer. Singles, young families, their education?
In terms of migration, it's interesting. The young people who are moving here tend to be very educated. Just as an interesting aside, we still don't get a lot of people emigrating here from foreign countries. But the people who come here are the single most educated immigrant group in the country. So a lot of the people are coming here specifically for jobs. The younger people, they're more flexible. I think Pittsburgh's been getting good buzz. I think the notion of, gee, I like that place, I think that's a big part of it too.
You mentioned the education factor. We've seen reports that Pennsylvania lags behind in the percentage of people, say, 25 plus with college degrees. But are our high schools at least preparing young adults for college if they wish to pursue college?
The whole education statistics and factors here are fascinating. We actually, in terms of a percentage of people 25 or older who don't have a high school diploma, we do really well on that. I think it's only Minneapolis has fewer non-grads. So as you mentioned, we're lower in the college graduates and so on up the line. What's fascinating about that here is I think the cultural and industrial history plays a role. In other words, for so long, for many, many years and decades, you didn't need, nor was it particularly productive, to go on to further education when there was a very lucrative job waiting for you in the mill or in Uncle Joe's machine shop. And so that's why a lot of people didn't need this extra education. Women were not in the workforce for similar reasons because historically that's changed now.
The Steelers will not have a winning season for a second straight year. The Penguins are doing just fine. And so much attention this past year has been focused on the Pirates ending that 20-year losing streak. So being a competitive region, being a big sports region, are we winners in your assessment when it comes to sports?
Well, I think given the dramatic turnaround and the really exciting season that the Pirates had, that I think that just covers up any variety of ills. So, yes, we get a big W in that one.
So, Doug, you've listed a lot of Pittsburgh reasons to be thankful. So does this all make us happy?
It's very interesting. The happy, we asked in our regional quality of life survey 2 years ago, we added a question about happiness because this is something that's being used in international rankings. You know, they ask you basically how happy you are on a scale of 1 to 10. And this is a community that, of all the things, it has a social fabric that's unlike other places. We found in our survey people know their neighbors more. Most people here have lived here a tremendous amount of time, and so they have social connections. You know, jobs are important, and of course our job market's doing well, but social connections are in a lot of people's minds what really makes happiness. So, yes, I think that we're a relatively happy place. We still have we have work to do in a number of areas, but in terms of our reasons to be thankful, we could be living in other places that aren't quite as good at this point.
And Doug, we're thankful for you joining us on Essential Pittsburgh. Thanks.
Thanks, Kevin.
Doug Hoik is the editor of Pittsburgh Today, which released its list of 10 Pittsburgh reasons to be thankful. I'm Kevin Gavin, and this is Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.